thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Hey, good morning. I am fully vaccinated. You know, rabies, polio, I've got my tags. Anybody have a dog? Okay. I'm fully vaccinated. Army makes sure of that. Hey, good morning. So when a month or so ago, Dr. Smith called me, I was in my office, and I'm usually not in my office. I love soldiers. I love to get to do what I get to do, and I'm going to move this a little bit. And I'm usually not in my office because I'm out and about. I love my ministry to be able to take care of soldiers, your soldiers. And they don't belong to me, they belong to you. And he said, well, can we, you know, talk to you about 10:30 one day? So he calls me, and I thought it was going to be about this chapel. You know, hey, it's your chapel. Thank you, sir, for your chapel time. And I thought it was going to be about this chapel. Larry, I'll give you, 2 minutes max. Then the shepherd's crook comes out. And he said, if you know me, I tend to like to have some fun. So he said, Colonel, General, Chaplain, what do I call you? And I said, sir, just don't call me late for dinner. And then he says, no, really, we're going to have you be the alum of the year. And for once in my life, if you know me, I was completely silent. Right, Rick? I mean, I'm never at a loss for words, and half of them are wrong. And I am honored and amazed. I apparently they didn't look at my transcripts. But you hear it all the time. And I've felt it many times, but that was another time where I thought, to God be the glory. What an amazing thing that God, if you knew my life before Christ and what God has called me from and what God has called me to. I remember when I got here in 1986, Brian Byers said, our fight song for CIU, then Columbia Bible College and Seminary, our fight song is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that's my story. God's faithful. I show up and God shows up and God is faithful. Before I get started this morning, I want to share just a little thing. And I said this a few years ago when I got back from Iraq in 2004. People do wonder what I call you, colonel or whatever your rank is. That doesn't matter. Here's the privilege that I have every day in the United States Army since the year 2000. As you might see, if you can look closely on my lapel, are crosses. And then every day when I walk outdoors, I have to wear a hat. Army likes hats. I don't know what that's about. But this is my beret, and it has a cross on it. The greatest privilege of my life is every day I get to wear the cross of my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. And oh, by the way, thank you for paying your taxes. I get to wear a cross and you pay me. So how great is that, right? God has a sense of humor in a lot of ways. So thank you, Dr. Smith, for giving me a few moments to share what's on my heart in ministry. And as I looked at this passage, we'll look at Ephesians 4:1 for a few moments. And I thought, well, should I preach this? I get to preach in Army chapels. And by the way, I am unabashedly a born-again, Bible-believing, Jesus loving, sin-hating Christian. That's who I am. That's my calling to the military. I'm endorsed by a denomination to be faithful to those truths, the truths that I learned here and was grounded in here at CIU, and I preach in chapels. And I thought, so should I preach in this chapel? And I thought, well, no, they get good preachers, actually. Should I teach? I love to teach. That's really my spiritual gift. I enjoy teaching, but I'm like, oh, no, they got Brian Byer and all these other great folks here to teach. So if you give me a few moments, I just want to share what's on my heart, just some experiences in ministry that God has been faithful to in my calling with my identity in Christ. In being in the military. So as I get started, has anyone in here been in the military or a first responder? Anybody been in the military? Please stand if you would. If you've been in the military or a first responder. Thank you. Thank you for your service. And none of us get to do what we do without an amazing support team. And if you have not just stood, but you have a family member that is in the military or a first responder, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, please stand. I want to see those who have family members that have served. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. My amazing family, my wife Kathy is here. Hi, Kathy. John, I lost track of you, John. John Daybeck, where are you? Hey! Some of you might know John. Every time I would deploy to combat three times, two in Iraq and once in Afghanistan, or be training in the field or out for extended times, it's really my beautiful family that are my heroes who supported me through all of those deployments and time away from family. I can't tell you the number of birthdays and anniversaries that I've missed. And here's the cool thing, and this is some free chicken. That's not even in my notes. When God called my family to this ministry in really 1999, the Lord started to tease us with this, and we really dove into it. Our prayer was that we wouldn't just survive the military, but we would thrive in the military, that this calling wasn't just Dad going into the Army and I was going to drag my family around the world, but it was God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for all five of us. I think John was 3 at the time, and then we had a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, 3 boys, Dad's joining the Army. So they got little uniforms and they would, you know, low crawl in the backyard. It was God's call for all of us. So never sell God short on his ability to use a call on your life to impact others, and especially your family. And here at CIU is where I got grounded in that identity in Christ to enable my calling, whatever that calling is. I thought I was going to be a missionary in Europe. We were getting set to go with a denomination, and then God redirected us to the Army chaplaincy. And here at CIU, I was grounded in my identity, which enables me to live that call. Grounded in my identity in Christ, enabled to live my call. And that comes up here in Ephesians 4:1, where Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord," that's identity, right? Who are you? "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Well, that's it. All right, have a great day. I urge you to walk, because of your identity, Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. So my question, it's really just one question for all of us this morning, myself included, is who are you? Really, who are you? What is your identity? So hold that thought. Allow me to back up 21 years. After 14 years at CIU in the Bible College and in the seminary, and in fact, in 1986, Frank Bedell was the director of admissions for the Bible College, and he accepted me. So this is really your fault for... And in 1986, I applied to be, and I love CIU. I'm like, this place is fantastic. They get to talk about Jesus all the time. And so I became a student volunteer. Well, no, I got paid. I think that was part of my scholarship money. So thank you for scholarships. To be a student tour guide for admissions. And then 4 years later, Frank hired me to be his assistant director of admissions. Then a year later, I was director of admissions in the seminary and then director of recruitment and admissions. So after 14 years in this wonderful incubator for my precious little family, the Lord launched us out into the Army chaplaincy. So back in 1986, God began to forge my identity in Christ so that 14 years later, I could be an Army chaplain. So as we think about our identity today and who we are and what our calling is, what we do, don't confuse those. Identity is who you are. Calling is what you do. It flows out of that identity. It flows out of that center. When I first got to the Army in 2000, it was really pretty cool because Just 1 month before that, in April of 2000, I was here working as director of admissions, got everything lined up for the Army, and then we drove out to Texas to start this new calling. So really, within days, I'm in a simulated battlefield, and the Army gives me a sergeant chaplain assistant and a Humvee. I mean, how cool is that? You join the Army, they give you a Humvee. And so me and my sergeant chaplain assistant, Sergeant Cliff Newman, we're bouncing around the battlefield, the simulated battlefield, and our unit is a tank battalion. So these guys are blowing stuff up. I mean, it's the coolest thing. In fact, when my sons, Michael and Mark, John's older brothers, had the opportunity to join the Army, they joined the tank corps because they wanted to blow stuff up too. So they thought that was pretty cool. So I get a call one morning while we're out in the field training, and it's my battalion commander. And my commander says, I need you to talk to one of our soldiers whose brother just died. And he says these words to me, and I'll never forget. And I want to read them because I wrote them down. He said, Chaplain, I have dozens of sergeants, but I only have one chaplain. At that moment, my commander knew very well my singular calling was based on my unique identity. Who I was enabled me to do that ministry. So who are you? What's your calling in the world, and is it grounded in your identity? In Ephesians 4:1, Paul is crystal clear. He's got that granularity about who he is and whose he is. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Now, I'm sure for him, he was in chains. But you see all throughout his writings that that could be a metaphor that he is always owned by and was a servant of, a doulos, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Paul knows he belongs to Christ. His identity, who he is Christ and whose he is. And Paul doubles down on this in Corinthians chapter 6, where he tells them, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. I don't belong to me. I can't do with this whatever I want. I have to follow that calling that he enables me to do based on that ownership, based on that identity. Our identity is Christ. We are his. There's nothing more magnificent, nothing more beautiful in this world than to know that for yourself and then to pass that on to others. In Christ, here's who else we are. We are beloved of God. We are a royal priesthood. You are the bride of Christ. You are his chosen child. And it goes on and on and on from there. One of the most significant times for me in my life was in 1984, a couple of years before I got to CIU. I was having my devotions. I was on a mission trip in New Hampshire. If you've been from the Northeast, they need the gospel. Amen, right? So I'm on the beach in New Hampshire having my devotions and sitting on a sand dune, and I'm reading Galatians 2:20, which I think might be my life verse. So I'm kind of glossing through this verse. I've read it before. You know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In this life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm like, yeah, I've read that. I like it. It's scripture, right? We should. But don't you love when some scripture just pops off the page? It's like you had never read it before. Like, what, did that just get added to my Bible like this morning? These next words were transformational. It says, in the Son of God who loved who? Me. And delivered himself up for me. I'm like, I know John 3:16, God so loved the world, and maybe I'm in that group, and maybe I'm just a number, take a number, he might love you. No, there it is. Who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Man, that's identity. Isn't that rich? I mean, talk about having a grounded center and who and whose I am. That's all about our identity in Christ. We don't belong to ourselves, and the owner of us loves us. Identity, the center, the core, everything else flows out of that middle, out of that center. Paul said it like this in Colossians 3:4. And what I love about Paul is he'll kind of be talking about one thing and then just have this amazing tangent. And you're like, oh man, that's just a tangent? Right? You know, in Philippians chapter 2, he says, you know, regard each other as more important than yourself. He's trying to help them understand unity through humility. He says, you know, you really should be like Jesus, who existed in the very form of God. It's thought not robbery, gave it all up and died on. Like, that was just a side note. Well, that's what he does here in Colossians 3. He says, he's talking about the return of Christ, but he says it like this: Christ, who is our life. Whew. Isn't that great? Christ, who is my life. That's identity. That's our center. My middle is I'm a Christian. If somebody asks me what I do, I'll tell them about my calling, and I'll get to that in a second. But I'm like, it's better than that. Let me tell you about who I am, not what I do. I'm a Christian. Now, for my callings, I've got several callings. You'll have several callings. You know, as a Christian, my first calling is to my wife, to be a husband. I'm a Christian husband. And then a Christian father. John, still awake? All right, thank you. A Christian grandfather now, a Christian father-in-law now, and a Christian chaplain, a Christian minister of the gospel. When Christ is our identity, then his calling on our lives flows out from that center. And then that identity fuels my calling to be a chaplain, as Paul says here in Ephesians 4:1, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which I've been called. So let me tell you a little bit about my calling. In 2003, in combat, we go to Iraq. The funny thing is, in 1999 and 2000, a good friend of mine who worked here in financial aid, Alec Campbell, was looking at the Army chaplaincy as well. And our wives were good friends, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to look into the Army chaplaincy. And he got excited. He's like, I've been thinking about being an Army chaplain. And so he goes home and talks to his wife, and she says this: oh, no, you're not. What if there's a war? And Alec and I laughed. We're like, what war? Who'd ever fight us? I mean, it was after 1991. We're like, nobody's ever going to fight us again. Wah, 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 wah. So in 2003, there I was in combat in Iraq, and I was with the medics, and they were bringing back wounded Iraqi soldiers to our aid station. And there at that aid station, I got to minister, I don't know Arabic, but I got to minister the love of Jesus Christ to those wounded and dying Iraqi soldiers. And that was one of the greatest privileges of my life, to be able to show them, because they saw my cross. And they even said, one of them pointed to it and said, Imam. And I said, okay, if that works for you. But I said, Isa is Arabic for Jesus. And I got to minister to them that day, held them, prayed with them, prayed for them, and as one of them was dying, because my identity in Christ fueled my calling to love and to serve them. On my second deployment to Iraq in 2006, our 12-month deployment was coming to an end. So in 2003, 12 months, I had a year off in the middle to train to do it again, go back to Iraq a year later, and our 12 months there was coming. I was so excited. I was 3 days away from flying home to my precious young family now in Alaska. That's where the Army had shipped us. If you ever want to know where God is calling you and you're in the Army, it's wherever the Army sends you. And we're in Alaska. So, in fact, we kind of joke. We were stationed in Alaska for 3 years, but I only spent a year and a half there. My family was there for the whole 3 years. So I'm excited to go home. I'm 3 days away from flying, and I go up to our brigade headquarters. That's the next higher echelon. And my brigade chaplain, a good friend of mine, Chaplain Bob Ney, he and I were talking, and since he's a major at the time, I call him sir. And I said, hey, sir, I'm so excited. I get to go home in 3 days. And at home, they're excited for us to come home. I want to read, John wrote a letter. If you know John, this you'll totally get this. John wrote a letter to the Secretary of Defense. To the Secretary of Defense. And oh, by the way, he wrote back. John still has his Secretary Rumsfeld's letter. And he wrote this to the Secretary of Defense. They were so excited. The welcome home banner is up. We're ready for my dad to come home, and all the moms are cleaning and tanning. which can be pretty difficult in Alaska. Cleaning and tanning. Thank you, John. I love you. And by the way, with being stationed in Alaska, the sun is up for almost 24 hours a day. It's really pretty cool. I see a head nod. Do you know Alaska? So if you look north, the sun will set at 1 a.m. Just barely go below the horizon on June 21st, and then rise at 3 a.m. I mean, it's 24 hours of daylight. It's amazing. So maybe that's how they were getting tanned. I don't know. So at the end of my 12 months, I can't wait to give back to this amazing family. That's my first call in life. And I go to my brigade chaplain, hey, I'm flying in 3 days. And he says, oh, haven't you heard? I said, no, heard what? He said, not 4 days, not 4 weeks, but 4 more months we've been extended. And I'm like, bah, yeah, Roy, sure, sir, Ralph, you're such a card. He said, no, really, we're going down to Baghdad for the surge. We'll be here for 4 more months. And I'm telling you, full disclosure, that was a kick in the gut. That was a tough day. I had a first sergeant one time look at me and say, hey, chaplains can't have a bad day. If you're having a bad day, then we're going to lose hope. So I'm having a bad day. And I go get alone with the Lord, and I get recentered on my calling, and I get recalibrated in my joy in the Lord. And the Lord was so wonderful that day. And John, he reminded me of one of my favorite verses, John 15:11, that his joy would be in me and my joy would be full. I'm like, all right, Lord, give me full joy. I want to overflow. I got 500 soldiers in my battalion who need to know that you provide joy, because we're going to be 4 more months in combat down in Baghdad. That's living out your calling, to know who you are and whose you are. And the fun thing about having that calling from the Lord is you never know where that calling will take you. And sometimes you're not even looking for the calling. God's calling will come and find you. I wasn't planning on this Army thing. It never even occurred to me. Now here I am 21 years later. And that calling has just been a fabulous ride. I think Dr. Miller said this once. He called it Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure. That's been my life. It's been an amazing Mr. Toad's wild ride, and better and more fulfilling than I could have ever imagined. So I've been to Texas. I've been to Alaska. I got stationed back here in South Carolina. I've been to Kansas, as Dr. Smith said. I've worked in the Pentagon. I've been to the Congo to train their chaplains and eat fried caterpillars. Amen? Is this my calling, Lord? I mean, they're so excited. They had these. I'm not kidding, man. They brought out. They're bringing out this big bowl of black fried caterpillars. It's a delicacy to them, and they're crunchy on the outside, and they're gooey in the middle. I'm here to tell you, for the glory of God, it was all I could do to muscle down about 3 or 4 of those caterpillars. Oh, praise the Lord. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Fried caterpillars. I've been to South Africa to train with their army and their chaplains, and even had an elephant charge my car. I've been to Germany and South Korea to help our chaplains and our armies to serve together. In Alaska, my family and I ran what's called the Midnight Sun Run. On that June 21st, there's a 10K that starts at midnight, and you finish, and the sun's still up. And then that winter, we all skied on the Alaska mountain range. I'm like, wow, if you ever get the chance to go to Alaska, it's absolutely beautiful. But go in the summer. Some of the training we got to do in Alaska, since it's your Arctic Warriors, is that I got to train at minus 35 degrees to build a thermal shelter. And I'm here to tell you, your training and your equipment works. I slept snug as a bug at minus 35 in this little thermal shelter I built on the south side of the Alaska mountain range. It's been a fabulous adventure. I got to meet President Bush, and I've had breakfast with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I've worked with special operations in Afghanistan. See, when you sign up, actually when you're signed up by the Lord to be His, and you know your identity and whose you are, it's an amazing adventure to live out your calling. And my best callings of all, to be a husband to Kathy, to be a father to John and Michael and Mark, to be a grandfather, to be a father-in-law. Claire, you back there? Okay, she thinks she fell asleep. So just like Paul, we all have callings to which we've been called. You have a calling today. I don't know what it is. I know one of them. You're called here to be a student, right? To be a Christian student. To know that identity, whose you are and who you are, and to live that out faithfully, to watch God show up and be faithful to you in this calling that you have today. And it's a calling. In that God calls, there's somebody making the call. In Ephesians, their call was to unity through humility. Our call is from God. So imagine it this way. Our spiritual iPhone is buzzing, right? You may have it on silent, but your spiritual iPhone is buzzing. Maybe you've got an Android. I'm sorry. But and you pick up your phone and you look to see who the caller is. And it says God. And he says, here's the answer the call. I mean, I'm not going to say, you can't answer it now. You swipe it, right? Or maybe later, or I'll get back to you. What's God's call for you? Answer that call. Because he has a call for you. He doesn't just call us from the world and make us his own. He does. But then he launches us back out into his world. I mean, you could be the CEO of a corporation. You could be working with the deaf or the blind. You could be an Army chaplain. And oh, by the way, I'll be here for 2 days. If you're interested at all in being an Army chaplain, I'd love to talk to you and tell you about your wild adventure that God might just have for you. God's calling. Answer the call. So sisters and brothers, when we're grounded in our identity in Christ, then we can live worthy of that calling. So as Paul said, I urge you therefore to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Whatever that calling is today, let's walk worthy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you saw fit to save us, to save me, to love me, and to give yourself up for me. Lord, what amazing grace that you have for each one of us. Lord, may we today walk away, if anything, Lord, have heard from you that you love me and that you gave yourself for me and that I am yours and you are mine and that there is nothing in all of creation, nothing in heaven and on earth to come, future, past. Lord, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Then, Lord, set us free to live for you, to live the calling that you have for each one of us. Lord, who is sufficient for these things, man? Not me. You are. Lord, be sufficient for each one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.